Whether you love them or hate them, Cliffo, I think it's fair to say a lot of people last night watched the first part of the docuseries about Harry and Meghan Markle, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. And there have been bombshells galore. And this is just the first three episodes. There's three more to come. And we want to know what's going on the ground over in the UK. And to tell us all about it is Channel 7's Europe Bureau Chief, Hugh Whitfield. He joins us right now. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Hugh, it was some pretty explosive stuff that that dropped in the first three episodes.
Yeah.
Bronte and I have watched the first episode.
Mm.
Prince Harry is not holding back. This might be the final nail in the coffin of an already stretched family dynamic.
Yeah, look, I think that's probably the most damaged part of these first three episodes is the relationship between Harry and the rest of his family, which we already knew was strained. And in fact, a lot of what we hear from Harry and Meghan is a bit of a rehash from the Oprah interview that happened last year. But I think what we see here is a very one-sided take on the relationship or that did and now no longer exists between Harry and Meghan. Meghan's perception of entering into that family. And I think in part, she looks a little bit silly.
Yeah.
A little bit naive. And that's coming from a woman who has herself described herself as well-researched and very worldly before coming into contact with Harry. There is an excruciating part in one of the episodes where she reenacts this ridiculous curtsy that she says she curtsied the Queen when she first met her on the Windsor estate. And Meghan looks silly.
Yeah.
But aside from that, there are attacks on Britain. There are attacks on the monarchy. Other people, not just Harry and Meghan, but their friends who feature in the Netflix series describe Britain as wholly racist and
wow.
Say that that's linked to the Brexit vote. They say the Commonwealth is just Empire 2.0. There's a lot of negative things that they have to say about the monarchy. There's not a lot of good things that they have to say. If you were Charles and William watching it, they will be very disappointed, I think. Charles is, you know, he's not named necessarily by his son, but Harry talks about essentially being raised in Africa by his friends there when he was going to Lesotho. And that they both talk about being the children of divorce and how they don't want to repeat the mistakes of their parents. I'm sure Charles wouldn't say that he was the perfect father, but he was a single dad you know, his wife had died and was trying to raise two boys, hard enough, let alone in the public eye.
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying, Hugh, because I don't have it out for Meghan the way a lot of people do, but hearing her say in the first episode about how she didn't know who Prince Haz was when she was over in England at Wimbledon, and like you said, a well-researched, educated woman, surely do you think they're lying? Are they narcissists? Like, are they just wanting to spin it for themselves? It's all very, it's hard to support them.
Look, if you watch this if you strip away the royal aspect and you strip away what we know about Harry and Meghan, if you came at this with no preconceived ideas and you took out all the royal elements, this is a lovely little love tale of a couple who from different worlds who got to meet. But there's all this baggage that comes with it that we know exists and that they talk about because they tell us they want to tell their side of the story. I would challenge anyone back in 2015 to find an American woman of her age who didn't know who Prince Harry was. I mean, that is something that she said before.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. I think from the palace's point of view, there's a bit of an argy-bargy going on about whether or not they were asked to contribute.
Yeah.
And the palace now saying that they may have received an email, but it didn't seem legit. And when they responded, they didn't get a response themselves. I don't know that from a broad monarchy scale that there's anything that they need to be worried about. From a personal perspective, from William and Harry, it's going to be hurtful. It's not the end of the monarchy or anything like that, though. But the next three episodes to come are what they might be worried about. The wedding and potentially the lead up to the death of the Queen and the Megxit episode itself, because we now know that they were recording video diaries on their phones during that whole Megxit drama. Now, who told them to do that? Were they already in talks with Netflix? Had they already been told by producers to do that? Lots of questions that I actually don't think we'll get many answers.
And the million-dollar question, why were they filming in portrait and not landscape?
Yeah, come on, guys.
It's 2022, guys.
Especially when you're being paid $100 million.
I know! That was so annoying.
I don't think it's done anything to help their perception in the UK or probably across the world. A really great breakdown from Hugh Whitfeld there, Channel 7's Europe Bureau Chief. Thank you, Hugh. We'll catch up again soon.
On you guys. Cheers.